with me today. I said with me today, I have none other than Mrs. Bonnie Berry Lamont. She's an attorney who has practiced entertainment law for 30 years, representing writers, filmmakers, recording artists, and production companies. Her law firm, B2L Entertainment Law PC, negotiates and drafts agreements in connection with its clients' activities in the motion picture, television, multimedia, music, and book publishing industries. She is a graduate of Princeton University and Harvard Law School. She also has a Master of Fine Arts in Creative Writing for Children and Young Adults from Vermont College of Fine Arts. She also writes middle grade fiction and is currently co-authoring a novel with Newbery Award-winning author Kwame Alexander. She lives with her husband and three bodyguards in Los Angeles. I'm sorry, she lives with her husband and three sons. Pardon me. Welcome, Miss Bonnie. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for taking our time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Did I have it right when I said three bodyguards? Because, you know, the sons, we have a tense. I know how I was with mom, or still am. You know, hey, I'm a little protected when it comes to moms. But would you say three bodyguards? Would you say, or...
On occasion, I'd say, but it's interesting that since I suggest that they live with me, and I realize how old that is now, because two do not live with me, and my youngest is heading off to college next week. Ooh. So
I'm gonna clap to that, because I know as a parent, part of the goals is to get them to that point. One of the highest goals is to get them to that point to where they can branch out the nest and go their own direction.
I guess they do live in Los Angeles. Those are the two.
Keep that. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Now, I know I can't necessarily say normal, but for the sake right now, what would you consider your normal Monday through Friday daily routine? Do you have a routine where you doing push-ups? Are you meditating? Is there some kind of yoga going on? You know, what is your morning routine Monday through Friday look like? What's consistent? Okay.
So this is aspirational and sometime achieved. But I usually wake up like around 5 a.m. and I have demarcated my day, kind of like 5 to 6 is my peaceful, quiet time. I have a number of rituals that I engage in during that hour. And then 6 to 10 is my personal writing time. And pretty much 10 to 6 is my lawyer work day. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously mixed in there is family and all kinds of stuff, the normal interruptions of the day. A friend and I typically do a walk from 6 to 7:30-ish. We try to get that 10,000 steps in.
Hey!
You know, and I try to be in bed by 9, read a book or something, so I'm asleep by 10, wake up to 5. There are many days it happens, there's a lot of days it doesn't.
Okay. I wanted, and please help me out with this. I wanted to make sure I was accurate. So you're originally from?
I am a Los Angeles native.
Okay.
But I grew up in Seattle.
Okay.
So I call Seattle home.
Okay. That's why I inquired. So how long your prior, let's say from birth to 18 years old, what was the primary place that you grew up?
So I lived in Southern California till I was 10.
Okay.
So those formative years, junior high, high school, all in Seattle. Then I went back east. But my mother lived in Seattle throughout. Okay. So it was go home to my mom in Seattle.
Got you. Okay. So your household growing up, how would you describe your household growing up? Let's say Seattle.
Okay.
How would you describe that? Like, what was it like? Siblings?
So, I have three older brothers.
Okay.
When my family moved to Seattle, it was my mom, my dad, and two of my brothers. My oldest brother had graduated from high school and stayed in California. after we were in Seattle for a while, my parents divorced. So I pretty much in Seattle grew up with my two brothers and my mom.
Mm. Okay. So there's this unspoken rule, I believe. Okay. Don't know if you've heard of it, but they usually say the oldest sibling is the boss, usually, I think. So was that the situation with you growing up? Whoever was, who was the oldest sibling again? And were they the boss? So the unspoken boss?
Not at all. Hopefully he won't listen to this, right? My oldest brother is the outlier in a lot of ways in our family. So he is 9 years older than me. And remember I said we moved to Seattle when I was 10. Gotcha. So I don't think of him as he's my oldest brother, but he wasn't present in my formative years. My brother that I told you was the Q dog. That is, you know, he's the middle, and there's only, I think it's like 14 months, I think, between him and, or maybe 15 months between him and my oldest brother.
Oh, that's close.
Yes. But in terms of involvement, in terms of intellectual enrichment, and all of that, it would be my brother Greg. My brother Greg, and my brother Greg died in this March.
Yes.
And this is what I'm talking about, the middle one, that mm-hmm. he was the core of our family. So in this case, it was definitely the middle son.
Middle son. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I tell you what I wanted to do was I wanted to shift over and see what motivated you. I'm assuming there were other options as far as in your collegiate, where you decided to go. Okay, so you grew up on the West Coast. Okay, what led you to Princeton? What led you to Princeton? What motivated you? Was there somebody that inspired you? Was there a particular person? Maybe just research?
So back to my brother Greg.
I'm raising a roof for him. Y'all okay. Don't even understand.
So my brother Greg, he went to University of Washington undergrad, and then he went to University of Pennsylvania Law School. But when I was in high school, I was the brainiac nerd, the only black girl in a group of non-black people, honors group, right? Hey. And he told me very early that I would find my tribe in college. And he told me also that I needed to swing on the ivy vines. So that's pretty much what happened. Right. And when I was in the summer between my junior and senior year, he was at University of Pennsylvania Law School, and I went to visit him to do the tour of colleges. I actually had planned on going to Yale, and apologies to anybody listening who went to Yale, but
put that disclosure out there, okay.
Well, they had sent me a thing asking me to apply, and I had bragged around my classmates, I'm going to Yale. And truth is, I went to Princeton, and there were all these black men playing basketball that day, and it was green and beautiful, and I picked Princeton over Yale, and I discovered that none of those guys went to the school.
Oh, Lord.
But we did have a good basketball team.
Wait a minute.
It was maybe a summer league.
They tricked so you kind of went in like, hey, wow.
I was like, okay, then my tribe.
Hey.
Remember, because WNBA.
See? Hey, and so it's like first day of school is like, wait a minute.
I mean, no, he was absolutely right. There, I am just saying that basketball team was not there.
Okay.
But people who have meant the world to me in the intervening, you know, almost 40 years, that he was right.
You know what? I absolutely have to touch on it. One thing that I can tell in just sitting with you right now is how significant and, you know, how important your brother was and still is to you. And so I wanted to direct on, okay, you know how we all have our ups and downs. Keep breathing. You're going to experience something. You know, life doesn't continue on with you without you experiencing some challenges.
Right.
Is it safe to say Well, I'll give you that opportunity. But what is something that you know that was very challenging, you know, or could have been even traumatic that you know for you, but you still found a way to press on because you're here smiling. You're here still willing to provide some positive feedback, some positive information. So whatever you went through, you clearly survived it and are sitting here now. But I can tell and feel the importance of what your brother is to you. So I'm curious, what is something that, you know, you had to overcome in life or still go through that you might have experienced?
I mean, I think there's not a particular thing that comes to mind,
right.
Honestly.
Okay.
I would say that I feel like we all face challenges,
yeah.
And sometimes depending on who we are dictates how big we see those challenges.
There you go.
So in that, and perhaps that's why I can't think of a single one that I say, oh, this was the one that knocked me for a loop and blew me away, whatever.
Right.
I can speak, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that I'm looking back at them and I'm like, oh, I got over.
Come on.
You know, so with the grace of God, with my faith, with the support of family and friends, I got over. So mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. I don't see it as a challenge. I see it as a blessing.
Mm.
But I can tell one story in 1993, I think. So a little backstory, and if I go on too long, just cut me off, right? Is when I graduated from law school, I came to LA to do entertainment law. And the first firm that I went to was a large corporate law firm that other people had told me I needed to go to because very few people who look like us.
Like that was your intention. Like you knew that was your, okay.
Well, really, I had been a writer in college. And then again, that same brother told me I needed to have a degree that I could fall back on all the time. So law school would be the one. Right? So I went to to law school.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to combine those two things, it kind of became entertainment,
mm-hmm.
right? Is create the creative world and law.
Mm.
So anyway, the first firm that I went to was a large corporate law firm, and it didn't really have an entertainment law practice. And when I started looking for other places to go, it was probably the first time when my credentials weren't, you know, enough, where people said, but we know that firm doesn't really train people for entertainment law.
Right? Okay.
So ultimately, I made the decision to go out on my own. And, you know, because
that's not easy.
In order to achieve, yeah. I have to believe and do it. Right.
So
I did that. But I was struggling.
Right.
And this is reaching way, way back. And people probably don't even remember Blockbuster and don't remember credit cards.
I do.
That you had to have a credit card in order to get a Blockbuster membership.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I did not have a credit card. Right. So my brother, he added me to his credit card.
Man, good
right?
luck.
But, and sent it to me. But I do remember because writing to him that bad credit was not a statement of self-worth. It was just an inconvenience. And that was what I learned from him is that these moments will, you know, they will come.
Mm.
You'll deal with them.
Right.
There will be a way.
Right.
You know, so that not having a credit card kind of thing, well, it's easily handled. My brother took care of it.
Mm.
And now I've moved on and have good credit now.
Note to self. Look, but hey, but still, you started from somewhere and you know, even with things that happen, you still, you know, pushed forward and did what you needed to do to get to this point. And it's interesting because at every angle that you've mentioned so far of something that either you accomplished or something that you've learned or something that you've experienced, I am hearing somehow your brother plugged into being an important piece to you. To that experience, each experience. So I guess I say with this, do you still have, when you think of him, is it more moments of smiling or more moments of, do you still have your moments to where it's like, okay, he's not here with me physically, but, you know, I still have my memories that I hold on to and the things that I've learned. You know, how would you describe that parents? And I'm saying this for anyone that has experienced loss and who may be watching this and who may be on there at a last point to where they feel like they can't get up in the morning. And I guess this may be the mental health side of me even expressing that. But what is something that you can, I guess, say on the aspect for you to helped you go even after that loss? What's something that you can say?
I smile in memory and I celebrate my brother because I didn't come today to talk about my brother, right? I wasn't thinking about him as I walked over here, right. But he is so intrinsic to me and he was such an amazing person.
Clearly.
Independent of me. I'm also telling my brother wrote the Reparations Act that Sheila Jackson Lee introduced into passage. My brother was the chief legislative counsel for Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee.
Hey, come on,
for like 15 years. My brother wrote impeachment articles. My brother wrote all those things that we see. And, you know, my brother is the hand behind it, right? And that's the public government type stuff I could talk about. But that's the same person that was the hand behind me. And so that hand behind me, it still pushes me forward. It's still there. I do not, talking about him makes me sad that he's not here.
Right, right.
he went quickly. He went completely unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that long ago.
Okay.
And unfortunately my father had died 6 months before. So before. It's been a lot in that regard, but for both of them, they were both wonderful human beings who made me.
Come on now. Come on now.
You know, but shout out to my mama too.
You
know.
Mom, okay.
who made me and gave me so much guidance and direction that they're still with me and they still do it. But, you know, in a way, at my father's funeral, my brother told me, he was not 70, but he said to me, I'm okay. I have my, you know, I'm almost at my 3 score and 10. He wasn't. I corrected it even then, but it gave me peace even when he passed, because I don't know if that was his Martin Luther King, I've been to the mountain moment, right? But he gave that to me.
He expressed that.
6 months before, you know, he left.
How do I say this? You have such a positive energy about yourself. And I have to humbly say this, that what you just expressed, if you didn't express it, I would have no clue that you experienced that in your life, because you just meeting you and your energy and positive, just the way that you carry yourself, you wouldn't know. And I just have to commend you on how you, I want to make sure I make this clear, because people tend to mistake that in order to show strength and press forward, every day has to be peaches and cream. Like it's always bright. Like you don't have any moments to where that you have a thought and you sit back and it's like, okay, there's some remorse or there's some sadness. No, even when progressing forward, you'll still continue to have, you may have some moments of sadness. Would you agree that it's not always chipper or like, I'm going to just be happy every single day? No, it's not necessarily like that. I just want to see how you felt about that.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah, you're right.
See, so.
Yeah. I mean, even in telling you this, I could feel the moisture behind my eyes, but I'm still moving.
You're still moving. So moving. And see, that is something that I want all of the listeners, anyone who follows me, that is something that I want you to understand. Don't confuse strength with this sense of everything just flows at this level of, okay, I'm walking and I'm smiling every day, so that means I am not allowed to feel a certain emotion. That's not the case. But what I wanted to do was, I wanted to kind of switch lanes, okay? From that, I wanted to plug into your profession here. Now, there are many areas where legal and law work is used and needed. What would you say inspired you for what or who inspired you to go into the entertainment sector?
The journey itself is a little, has a little few twists and turns.
Okay.
So I wanted to, since I was, you know, can't even remember, I wanted to write. I wanted to tell stories.
Gotcha.
I storyteller, make them up, imaginary family.
I love that.
Read a book.
I love
decide that. That there's got to be a sequel. I will write it and just continue that story. So And the thing even about music, I love a song that tells a story. Mm. Like take me beginning, middle, and end. It can be a happy journey, it can be a sad journey, it can have lots of ups and downs. But I need the first verse to set it up. I need the second part to
love
be some
it.
Obstacles. I need the third to be resolution. I need
love
a story.
It.
I don't want a bunch of anthems. You know.
Hey.
And that's just how I feel about storytelling in general, whether it's in music, whether it's in literature, whether it's in film, television. Let me know you. Let me know your story. Let me feel the emotions. And if you can do it in a lyrical or beautifully visual way,
man.
I am so there. So for me,
I love it.
I want to do it. But when I'm not doing it, let me support those who do.
I absolutely love that. So basically, either way, you're still
yes
have your hand and involved in that.
Yes.
What would you say is the fuel? What gives you the fuel to continue to go? Because you can't. I would imagine that every day isn't easy. So you have to have some days. I'm thinking that some days are a little draining. Maybe if you've had all day work, or does it ever not feel like work? Like
I know it feels like work. It feels like babysitting. I represent talent, right? And if we all could be talent, right? It means somebody's taking care of you, and you get to express a lot of your. So there's two things that happen. There's the negotiation of the deals with the other lawyers, which is the fight, right? Or the accommodations, the figuring it all out, right? And then there's a whole nother side, which is the handling, the nurturing, the understanding. It's no different, I think, in some ways than parenting.
Ooh.
Because some days you really have to reach deep to figure out how to like not hurt their feelings, because you don't want to engage in the conversation. You really want to just say, sign on the dotted line and move on. Right? You're not that special yet. but you know, that's not how you raise your children either.
No.
You want them to believe that all things are possible. So it's the same.
Right.
But you still have to keep it real.
Right.
You know, in my practice, the reason why I have that separation of days, that kind of that morning, making that morning is me, right?
Okay.
Because then I don't have resentment for the afternoon.
Pay attention.
You know, that's a lesson I had to teach myself.
Wow.
Like, how can I find a way to accommodate what I want to do for others and what I need to do for me?
Okay. I'm going to take a small pause on that because that's so important. And I imagine it took some time to get to that point. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yes, it did. I'm sorry. I was on the podcast.
The nod. Hey, no, look, you know what? That matches up so directly with your passion for writing books for children and young adults. Please talk about that.
So that starts with and there are so many writers of color who will tell this story of I read books and I really loved these people, but I never saw me.
Mm.
I never saw myself in it. I saw me in the story, but I didn't see anyone who looked like me.
Thank you.
And so I wanted to...
You're getting excited. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I wanted to write stories about... Like, it's an interesting thing, and this is not a... It's not to take away from the value of anyone else's books, mm-hmm. right? And their stories and their truth.
Right.
But my truth was somewhat of a, you know, basic middle class. If I wasn't middle class, I didn't know it because they didn't tell me I couldn't have things.
Right? Okay.
And, you know, it wasn't a gully life, but it had emotional stress. It had, you know, parents that got divorced. It had boys that didn't like me. I mean, it had all the normal things that, truthfully, little white girls get in their books mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot, especially when I was growing up, a lot of books about us are always about our sharecroppers, right?
Great.
You know, right. or it's got to be some historical statement. It can't just be.
Thank you, Bobby. Right?
And so my books were basically, you know, it's a series of five. They're not, I'm going to be clear, they're not all written.
Okay.
Right? And none of them, yeah, they're all in process okay. at some okay. different stages, right?
Okay.
But different young women, pretty much all between the ages of like 11 and 13, different parts of the same city. They may interact in a moment, but they have very different lives.
Mm.
But they're just regular young women learning all the lessons that happen when you come of age.
People don't get to hear and see that picture. I feel like that. They don't get to see it in that culture.
Yeah. I want to be clear. It is. They are out there way more than they were when I was younger. But there needs to be more. It is presumed that you know, that a book about just some girl, just some, you know, white girl or right. white boy can just have a dog,
right?
They can just, you know, go back and forth, and the big deal could be the dog got lost.
Create a right? conversation right off of that right? storyline,
you know, and it's a storyline.
Right.
We usually have to be like struggling. We have to have it really, really, really bad, mm-hmm. right? We have to like be overcoming slavery or Jim Crow or
you know.
Or incarcerated parent. I mean, mm-hmm. it unfortunately, and I want to say all those stories are true,
right?
But they're not the totality of our story,
right? It's not in just that box.
Yes.
So much more.
Yes.
So much more.
So my stories are the more, the other, you know, the multicultural,
yeah.
just you know, a life in the day.
Man, tell me this, if someone wanted to follow you or anything, any projects, anything that you're doing, is there any websites, anything as far as?
Well, business? There is supposed to be a separate website from the legal website, but
okay.
I think it's still a work in progress.
Okay.
You know, you can follow me on BeBerry Creative.
Okay.
At what is that? Instagram. I'm not a big poster.
It's a lot of platforms. It's a lot of TikTok. There's a lot of platforms out there.
Yeah, I'm not on TikTok.
I figured that. That's why I said,
hey. I can't dance.
Thank you, Bonnie. I really appreciate you taking time out to come here, be on the podcast, be willing to say something and express something within and about yourself that honestly may encourage a few good folks. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Anything you wanted to express to listeners or?
I think I've said a lot.
we got gold nuggets for days. Okay, look, as I've said it before, I'll say it again. Sometimes in life you must fail in order to succeed. But one thing must remain certain. Under no circumstances do you ever, ever, ever give up. Triumphant Moments with T. Wood. I have the great Mrs. Bonnie Lamon.
Barry Lamon.
Mrs. Bonnie Barry Lamon. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.